Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is episode 272 of the Distraction Pieces podcast, and it's an unexpected bonus episode that me and Stu Whiffin recorded in a Greggs in Dartford this past Monday when we had to wait 90 minutes for a windscreen to be replaced. So that's literally the whole story of this. We thought we'd do a preview of the upcoming UFC and talk a little bit about the boxing from the weekend, the UFC from the previous weekend, all that kind of thing. If you're not into that kind of thing, it's fine. It's only a bonus episode, man. Chill. It's free anyway. Hope you enjoy next week's episode if this isn't for you, but I think you'll enjoy this. It's good fun. It's recorded on just one handheld Zoom, so apologies if the sound quality isn't great, but again, it's a bonus. It's free. Chill. We're brought to you as ever by SpeechDevelopmentRecords.com. Head there for all your summer goods. And Patreon.com/ScroobiusPip has just had Poem of the Month, where I record a spoken word poem on the first Monday of each month and upload it. So that it's $1 a month to join that. Or I mean, you can pay more, but it's $1 a month. So, yeah, all that is over there. I'm keeping this brief because it's a bonus episode. Enjoy episode 271 of the Distraction Pieces podcast with Stuart Whiffin of Hardcore Listing and Off the Beaten Track fame. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. And we are rolling. So, shall we explain what's going on? We're sitting in a Greggs in Dartford at 10:30 in the morning.
Yeah, shame it's not a drunk cast. I could have told the Dartford story.
Yeah, you could have told the Dartford story, but we'll save that for whenever we do another drunk cast. Drunk casts are kind of on hold at the moment, aren't they?
Justin Sportham.
Chris is living in London at the moment, which makes it harder to do. Yeah. We'll do the Christmas one, obviously, but we're doing the Pod Bible launch today in Brighton, aren't we? It's Monday that we're recording this. But on the way to Brighton, I've had to get my windscreen replaced. So we've got a spare 90 minutes. And we thought we'd do a bit of a chat about this weekend's UFC.
Which is looking like a monster event.
It's amazing. But before that, Pod Bible's exciting, isn't it?
Pod Bible's really exciting. So I've just seen...
Oh, I'm with Stu Whiffin, I should mention.
Hello.
Yeah, so we're about to release edition 3 of Pod Bible, which is the mag that is owned by Pip, me and Adam, who does lots of the artwork for the Distraction Pieces podcasts.
Yep, he did the artwork for... the first one he did was Say Why to Drugs, and the way that came about was Susie posted her original artwork as a preview, and he got in touch saying, "That's not good enough, is it?" And literally hit her up and said, "Do you want me to do one?" And he did one that looks amazing, and since then he's done Jason's and Films to Be Buried With, he does. Off the Beaten Track. Yeah, of course. So, yeah, he does loads.
So he was a natural person to approach when we said we was going to set up this magazine about podcasts, right?
Yeah, and it's essentially every other month, and it's just a podcast magazine. It's reviews, reviews and recommendations.
And so the first one, we had a big interview with Adam Buxton. In the second one,
Richard Herring
and Edith in this one.
Edith Bowman is the cover star of the third issue.
All previous guests on Distraction Pieces.
Yep, and as this goes out, the digital version of issue 3 will be out on Monday.
Yeah.
But the physical version will be in shops and all that kind of thing. If you look on the Pod Bible socials, I guess.
Yeah, and if you do want a hard copy and you're not in Brighton or London, then there is an opportunity just to cover the postage on the website, and we'll post out a hard copy to you as well.
Yes, so that's podbiblemag.com.
Yes.
So that's enough Pod Bible chat. I don't know how long this will be, but I thought I'll sling it out on Friday as a little bonus. It's a hell of a UFC. Shall we start at the bottom of the card?
Yeah, go on.
So, on the prelims, obviously we won't do every fight, but I know there's a fight that you're a fan of is opening up the card, Jojo Calderwood against...
Is this the fight past prelims? Or...
Yeah, the fight past prelims, and she's against Caitlin Chookagian.
I don't know much about her.
She's had a few fights in the UFC and looked decent.
11-2,
and JoJo is 13-3, but she had a rough time. I mean, she spoke about it a bit. She had a rough time in her personal life, and it seemed to be affecting her fighting because it affected her training camp and friendships and stuff there. So, but in the recent fights, she's at a new camp. She seems focused, and she looks fantastic, right?
She just looks really fragile when you see her just carrying herself. And
she's
like,
the quietest. She's Scottish, and she's just got the quietest Scottish accent. And then that was Irish, but
the buzzer goes, and she's a beast.
Yeah, she got in her last. No, in the fight before last, she did a really good bum kick as part of her combo. Remember, she did a combo that ended in a kick in the bum because the person turned. But
it's a definitive strike in any martial art, a kick up the arse.
So it's good to have JoJo on the card. We've got Eddie Wineland on the card.
I've not seen him.
Do you remember him?
I've not seen him fight for a long time. I've presumably been dropped from UFC.
He was big in the WEC days, and when they merged the WEC, they brought Wineland over, obviously Aldo, Faber,
Pickett,
all of those guys. He's I'm sure he's been out for a while, but that's exciting.
He was a beast.
I just remember him being one of the standouts in those lower weight classes as they brought him over. The 135. Yeah. So that's interesting. I don't know much about where he's been or why he's back even. But, I mean, we should mention, as we mentioned, Faber there. Have you heard he's returning?
Oh, really?
He's announced he's broken his retirement. He fought in Polaris, I think it was, recently, which is the one I've been to a few times.
Yes.
At the O2. Is it the O2? It's at the O2, yeah. Yeah. It's at the Indigo 2.
Indigo, yeah.
Yeah. He fought in that in a BJJ fight, and then literally the week after it was announced he's got his next UFC fight confirmed against a young prospect. I can't remember his name, but yeah, that's kind of exciting and odd. What's it saying about Eddie Wineland?
Are you looking up Eddie? Yeah, I'm just seeing when he last fought.
If you open his full wiki and do his fights,
yeah.
Scroll still, down still and you'll just get 15. To mixed martial arts a record.
So he last fought.
Well, he fought last year.
Yeah, April 22nd. Got a unanimous decision against John Dobson.
That's weird, isn't it? What are you talking about? You're looking.
Oh, sorry, he lost to John Dobson.
Where's John Dobson?
Yeah.
Oh, right, he's fought again since then. He lost in 2018 as well. For some reason, you were ignoring the fight above.
I presume for some reason that was the one that was this weekend.
Do you think it's 2018 at the moment?
Just checking at some of the people that obviously beat Brad Pickett, beat Scott Jurgensen.
He was another one that came over in that big WEC move.
Lost to Benavidez, lost to Faber. I mean, he's fought some serious players.
Henan
Burrell, Yves Javine,
Man.
Brian Carraway.
Yeah, he's been around a while, and yeah, I guess that's going to be an interesting one, right? It just feels like it's weird to see that he fought in 2018 several times in 2017, because I feel like he's been gone for years. But I guess he's had losses on the undercards, so it's not a big thing. Another one on there is Angela Hill, who I'm a big fan of, and she's been looking great.
I saw her. She was in The Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah.
And she was causing quite a she was pretty outspoken on there as well.
Yeah. She's great on social media. She's always. It's kind of her. And again, a weird bit of news that Elias Theodoru's been cut.
Really?
He lost to Brunson. He was on like a 3 or 4 fight win streak, I think. He certainly got a winning record.
Before, he looked amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And he's been cut. But him and Angela Hill are two that, if they're on the card, it's good, but it's kind of annoying because they're really good when they're not on the card because they're great on social media. Every event they're tweeting. But yeah, Elias is.
Why have they cut him?
It's gone.
That makes no sense. We've just mentioned Eddie Wineland, who's fighting in the UFC, and
it's really odd.
Because
he wins a lot of decisions,
yeah.
So that's never popular with the top brass, I guess. But
He looks like a 1980s kind of Athena model.
Oh, he's gorgeous. Yeah. If you're not familiar with Angela Hill, go on YouTube.
I thought you were gonna say if you're not familiar with Athena.
If you're not familiar with... me and my brother were making this joke, because at the weekend, Jimmy Manoa lost a brutal knockout, but his nickname is the poster boy, and Ian was around, he's like, is he called the poster boy because he used to work in Athena? So that's two.
I mean, we should Athena. Mention that.
Yeah, that was a brutal knockout, wasn't it?
Scary.
It was Terrier-M level scary. It looked like he was in a bad way. I liked that. Is it Ratic or Ratchik,
yeah,
who knocked him out, apologised in his post-fight speech for celebrating, because he was kind of in the heat of the moment. He was doing the signals of shush, he's asleep.
Yeah.
And he weren't moving. It was quite uncomfortable.
It was one of them ones where you just think, oh, there's some oxygen in there.
Yeah.
Because it looked scary. And it was, when you watch the replay, it was that beautiful sort of kickboxing style of throwing, I think he threw the left, and then he threw the kick with the left hand as well, and it just followed it perfectly, and it was shin to chin, wasn't it?
It
was on the money. It was horrible.
I think it was Felder who said it sounds like a baseball bat.
Yeah.
Just bang across the head. Anyway, if you're not familiar with Angela Hill, if you're not familiar with Athena, then go and look up Athena. They did some great posters. Big one, the tennis player scratching her bum. Classic. I like the smoke. I like the poke. The Pope smokes dope. All the classic
Simpsons characters on one poster.
Yeah, Green Day Dookie artwork poster.
Yeah,
there'd always be basically loads of like sexy posters, and then a random Iron Maiden poster
in the
middle of it.
Various kind of shots from Friends.
Yep. Maybe the people from Friends in the image of those builders in New York on the rafter.
Yes.
That kind of thing was very Athena. But if you've not seen... forget about Athena. If you're not familiar with Angela Hill, look up her weigh-in performances as such, because at the weigh-ins, she normally does a cosplay of some sort. She did Dalzim from Street Fighter once.
Yeah.
I think she's done a few... She's done Sagat, so normally it's Street Fighter. And then when they're doing the bit where they pose for a photo, she'll move the same as in the like at the beginning, like when they're bouncing from side to side before the fights. So that's good. The actual prelims, there's not that much on there. There's Ricardo Lamas.
Yeah,
is always good.
Yeah.
Where is he?
I don't know where he's ranked now, but he was probably ranked 2 or 3 at one point.
He
wasn't
top for a while, and then he had a few losses in a row. It's weird because, again, he's someone who was known for his kick. He became known for his striking when his striking wasn't that tight, I think. I might be remembering this wrong. I don't want to comment too badly.
Sterling.
Carolina on the card. Kavalkavik against Alexa Grasso. So that's two high-ranking women. Aljamain Sterling against Pedro Munhoz is incredibly exciting because Sterling, I think, has got all the potential to be a champ. He talks a lot about not getting the fights he wants and people dodging him.
He's an unorthodox fighter, though, isn't he? Like,
not getting the credit because he got that mad submission that there's never been one in the UFC before, and then on the same night, someone else got the same submission and got all the praise for it. And he's like, I did it earlier.
Yeah.
I did it earlier this evening. But, I think he's great. And the good thing there is you get to hear... Ray Longo and Matt Serra in his corner just shouting the most New York voices ever.
It's brilliant.
But that's an exciting one. I think Pedro Munhoz, I mean, again, we'll talk about this a bit later on as well, but all the lighter weight classes are just so stacked.
Yeah.
Like Sterling, he's excited at the moment. Again, let's talk about it from the weekend. He's someone who had... He was smashing it, and then he had a big knockout loss, and then he's come back, tightened his game up, started to use his wrestling more, not getting lured into the flashy stand and bang because he's a wrestler. And he's come back, and it's in MMA, it seems to be so much about how you come back from a loss, whereas in boxing, as we've seen at the weekend, it's so built up that if you lose one fight, people seem to say, oh, they've been exposed, they're a fraud. And AJ has had that. Many people saying, see, we've been saying for so long, he's not that good. It's like, well, no, he's young and he's lost.
Yeah.
He could still continue to be an absolute icon and legend.
And I mean, a lot of people have said it as well, that you look at Lennox Lewis. Look at Ali.
Yeah.
You know, Lennox Lewis got beaten by Rackman, comes straight back, knocks him out the next fight. Got beaten by Bo, comes straight back, knocks him out the next fight. That's a champ. And I think, I'm not the biggest AJ fan, but I do think that what has happened is a good thing. I think, like, it will give him an opportunity to regather and come back and cement his status as a legit champ. You know, I think he's got every opportunity ahead of him now. And what I hope this does is just kind of frees up a really exciting heavyweight scene at the moment, because you've got Dillian White, you've got, you know, people like Du Bois coming through, you've got Chisora still that always comes to bang.
I think it means AJ is going to have to take some of those fights rather than the constant teasing of Wilder or Fury. And now Wilder Fury 2 has been signed, or supposedly it's been confirmed. Wilder's done an announcement video saying him and Fury 2020, I think they've said.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of good, because it means that AJ for a long time has been above a lot of the domestic, just in the way it's been presented.
Well, no,
it's that he's an international fighter. Your Chisuras, all those, they're domestic. So now I think he's going to have more of those, and some of them rematches, but some of them first time.
And all of these fighters, they're all ranked top five, you know. They're fighters that are not to be sniffed at. And I think they're all people. A lot of them were probably ranked higher than Ruiz.
Yeah.
And have probably got, you know, just as competent records as Ruiz. I think, I'm sure Dillian White has. But, yeah, so I think it could be really good that it... And also, if potentially... what's his face? Fights Ruiz, Deontay Wilder. It unifies the division, which hopefully would start to... I don't really understand the politics of boxing and the governing bodies, but all the time it's fractured. It just seemed like the Deontay Wilder fight versus AJ was just, it just looked like it was never going to happen.
Yeah.
And it felt like the Fury AJ fight was never going to happen because of politics and
who's with who.
It does, you know, I'm not hating on AJ at all, but it did feel that Eddie Hearn was, I guess, doing the right thing, which is to protect your fighter and make him as much money as you can. You know, because in turn, obviously, Eddie Hearn is making as much money as he can.
Yeah.
And that's the sport of business, the business of boxing, I guess. But I just think that you want to see that the fighters that everybody are going to remember, they're going to remember Ricky Hatton, because he went and fought the best, you know, didn't always beat the best, but Nigel Benn, these are people that the crowd love to watch fight, because, and I do think, I'm not for a moment suggesting AJ isn't chinny, I don't think he is. Anyone that is getting hit by a bloke that big,
you're
going to go down.
That's one of the things I think that needs highlighting as well. It's been annoying that people are like, he's been beaten by some fat bloke, blah, blah. It's like, there's a fairly highly ranked boxer, when Jack Slack, who's my favourite MMA podcaster,
one loss by points to Joseph Parker,
and people argue that that was an injustice, that was a close one, and he should have won that. But equally, he was a tough matchup for AJ, because he's not someone who gets stopped, and tough fighters is where AJ struggles more, because he knocks people out. But his big matches have been where he knocks them out and moves on. The matches he's struggled in is where he's had to grind out a decision, because he's not a grinder. He's a explosive striker.
He is an explosive striker, but what shouldn't be overlooked about the fact that, yes, Ruiz looked like a flabby bloke from down the pub, he was more precise and his hand speed was much faster.
His hand speed was ridiculously fast,
He was beating him to the punch every time. His counters were too fast for Anthony Joshua.
But that's what's interesting as well, is Ruiz isn't particularly a power puncher. He's a speed puncher. So again, you look at it on paper and go, oh, that big bloke punches chance, he's caught him, he's a power puncher. He's like, no, he's not. He's
speed
not. He's not got tons of knockouts. He's a grinder.
And
anyway,
tough as hell.
But what? Yeah, the point of that was, Sterling in MMA losing seems far more accepted. Yeah. And except when it gets to the level outside of MMA, I think one of the biggest tragedies of recent years has been Ronda. Because Ronda is great and was great, and people have rewritten that as she was crap until she met good competition. It's not true, because the people that beat her, like, the good competition that she met was Holly Holm, who then lost the belt to Misha Tate, who Ronda beat numerous times. Yeah. It's such a misrepresentation of what actually happened
and
in this.
To go back to the AJ thing as well, you can only beat who's put in front of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, and Ronda beat everybody in spectacular fashion.
Yeah.
Before, you know, someone with a different style. And that's the
but again,
that's
I think
so
because,
about MMA,
because she think? Was so built up and so outside of MMA, it did mean that when she lost, people were like, oh, she's done. In the way they do in boxing. And that's not the normal way in MMA. Yeah. In MMA, it's far more regular that, oh, you've lost. Cool. You'll come back.
I think
we mentioned Matt Serra earlier.
Yeah.
He beat Georges St-Pierre, the best of all time.
Yeah.
George came back, destroyed him, but still, George had that loss. It didn't mean that George isn't an icon and a legend now. I posted about this online and someone was saying how everyone has, all the greats have three comebacks in them, more than that, and they're done. And I argued, because instantly, I was like, without even researching it, Robbie Lawler had 10 losses on his record before he won the welterweight belt, defended it in arguably the best fight in MMA history against Rory. It's like, you can't say that. In MMA, it's you have wins and losses. You're in a game where you're going in against experts punching each other.
And I think, you
you're going to lose at some point.
And I think that sums up the weekends of boxing and people. You know, I think in heavyweight boxing, or in any boxing, if you're getting hit by skilled fighters on the button, you're going to go and sit on your ass.
Yeah.
You can't help that. That's science. That's, you know, the physics of the body. And I guess it's unfair to just, you know, hate on him for that.
It's interesting what you've said there, because you've said in heavyweight boxing, and it translates, because we've said earlier in this discussion that the lighter weights in UFC are the most stacked divisions. It's because you don't have that kind of the ease of which to write someone off. The fact that Stipe defended the heavyweight belt more than anyone else in the history of the UFC. He defended it 3 times. That's not loads, but at heavyweight.
Is that true? I did not know that.
Yeah, he defended it more at 3. It might be 4, but it was he took over Kane. Yeah, it was Cain Velasquez.
Wow. That's crazy. But and that highlights.
Yeah, it highlights that at the heavier weights, it's why, like, everyone... And Ngannou lost, and everyone's like, he's crap.
Yeah.
Now he's had a few wins. It was like, he's a beast again. It's like, that's how it should be. You should have that.
Definitely.
You can lose, you can come back. But speaking of heavyweights, kicking off the main card is a Blagoy Ivanov against Tyer Tuivasa. And again, it's just... That's just big blokes having a swing. A Tyer Tuivasa, I think, is great because he's not that technical. He's just a big, tough New Zealander who does... He got a famous... Reebok has made him a shirt that has him doing a shoey on it, where he drinks a can of beer out of a shoe. He's just a lad. And that's kind of nice.
And hits like a truck.
Yeah, hits like an absolute truck. But that is the heavyweight division a lot more.
Yeah, completely. Built not too dissimilar from Ruiz. And, he's got a belly on him, but he's... he's a monster, and I always get excited watching him fight.
He's just a good bloke as well, and that's always exciting. But moving up the card, because we're getting into the meat of why this is a hell of a main card. Jimmy Rivera, who has been smashing it at 135. I think he retired Faber, didn't he?
Yeah.
I could be remembering that wrong, but he's against Peter Yan.
Faber not retire on Brad Pickett?
No, because Pickett retired in London. I don't know. Rivera was definitely one of the ones who stopped Faber on that last run to a title opportunity. But Peter Yan is one of the people I'm most excited about in mixed martial arts in general. His style...
Who's his last fight against?
I can't think, but he looked amazing. His style
devastating.
You kind of... It's got the technique is flawless, but the pace of it, it's just unrelenting. And you're watching thinking, at some point, he's got to slow down. So if you're looking at this card and seeing the three fights above this, you're right to be excited about them, but that is all the potential to be the fight of the night, because Peter Yan, he's a future absolute superstar. Are you going to look up who he...
his last fight was.
He's only had two in the UFC, I think, and he just looks... Again, it's the fact it's exciting when someone is so technical and so it's so intelligent in there. His ring cutting, his footwork was the main thing. His footwork is just absolutely ridiculous. And Jimmy Rivera has obviously smashed a load of absolute beasts as well. I'm letting you look up
John Dodson.
Oh, Dodson, yeah. Yeah, and he looked amazing, right?
Yeah.
Who gets to out footwork and out speed John Dodson, or more speed? But he just worked him. That was a hell of a fight.
Yeah.
And Rivera is coming off a unanimous decision loss to Sterling, but then he beat Dodson before that, but lost to Marlon Moraes before that. But yeah, Rivera. If you're thinking, oh, I don't really remember him, he's beaten Marcus Brimage, Pedro Munoz, who we were talking about earlier, Irai Alcantara, Uriah Faber, and Thomas Almeida, and John Dodson. So, this is the top of the food chain. So, yeah, hugely exciting. And next up is the fight that I've got most excited about on the announcement and then got progressively more depressed about every time I think about it more. Is Cowboy v. Ferguson. And because they both deserve a title shot more than anyone else in that division, and they're going to be eliminating each other from the title shot. Ferguson...
So who's got the title?
So there's two title holders. There's Khabib Nurmagomedov and Dustin Poirier.
Poirier's got the...
He's interim.
While he's suspended or whatever.
Yeah, so they're going to fight. And Poirier and Nurmagomedov, I rate both of them. Neither of them have fought and beaten as good people as Ferguson has. Ferguson got his interim title, and then he got stripped when he got a freak injury. He didn't do anything wrong. He was doing promotion for the UFC. His route to win that. And Nurmagomedov, I rate, but he won the belt by beating Ally Quinta.
Yeah.
Who's a good little fighter, but he's not... He was just top 10.
Last minute.
And before that he'd fought, so he's fought two people in the top 10 as far as I can remember, which is crazy. As again, I rate Khabib, but Ferguson, it's just ridiculous.
Ferguson,
go all the way back to the start of his run.
It's ridiculous.
So his run is
right, so let's
just go off his win streak.
Okay.
Because he's got the longest win streak in the company.
Danny Castillo, Abel Trujillo, Gleison Tebow,
Josh Thompson, another one from the WEC. No, he was Strikeforce, wasn't he?
Barbosa.
Lando Venata was an amazing fight.
Yeah. Sutton by Cho. Rafael
De Santos. RDA, Kevin Lee and Anthony Pettis. All absolutely amazing. And the Anthony Pettis one was the bastion of mixed martial arts, because it was on the card where Conor and Khabib fought, and then they had a big brawl outside, and it was all embarrassing. Whereas Pettis and Ferguson had amazing fight. They were bloodied and beaten. The corner stopped it, which is great, because it shows that it's not just a blood sport. If your fighter's out, he's out. They hugged at the end. It was,
incredible fight, that. Absolutely incredible.
So no one deserves a proper title shot more than Ferguson, other than maybe Cowboy, who's got the most wins in UFC history, the most fights in UFC history, the most knockouts in UFC history, the most fight night bonuses in UFC history. And right when it felt like his career was over, he's had a kid whose actual name is... No, his middle name is Danger... He's given his kid the actual middle name Danger, and that's remotivated him. And Dad Cowboy is on a streak and looks the best he's ever looked.
Well, let's have a look, talk about some of his streaks, right? And, right, so before he lost to Nate,
Yeah.
At UFC 141. He'd already beaten Oliveira, Dennis Siva, Paul Kelly. Then after the loss to Nate, he comes back, beats Jeremy Stephens and Melvin Gillard. Then loses to Pettis, comes back, beats Nunes. Yep. Loses to Rafael Dos Anjos, then comes back, beats Evan Dunham, Martins, Edson Barbosa, Jim Miller, Eddie Alvarez, Miles Jury. Miles Jury fight, one of my favourite fights.
Yeah.
Benson
His
Henderson.
His fuck you kicks, as
yeah,
he called
amazing.
Them.
John McDessie. Then he lost again to Rafael, comes back, beats Alex Oliveira, beats Patrick Cote, beats Rick Story, beats Matt Brown with a head kick.
Yeah.
Then he has a loss. He has three losses on the bounce.
Yeah.
Jorge Masvidal, Robbie Lawler.
It was Lawler. A close decision with Lawler, wasn't
yeah.
it?
And Darren Till, obviously. Yep. Comes back, beats Medeiros, loses to England's Leon Edwards, then comes back, beats Mike Perry, Alexander Hernandez, and now Al Quinta. And now he's back there fighting Tony for the...
And, I mean, they're both fighters who always have exciting fights. Even where you see decisions on that record, they're exciting decisions. So it's a dream fight. But the thing that I said, that's why, like, when it was announced, I was like, thank fuck. And, again, the fact that Cowboy was potentially, again, being lined up to fight Connor.
Yeah.
But then went, well, if Connor ain't about, I'm not waiting. I want to fight. And, again, he's aware he's getting older. He's always been someone who wants to fight, but even more so now.
Has there been any? You're far more on point with all the forums and whatnot. Is there any word on Connor?
No. Off people I know who know his people, they all expect Connor to be arrested at some point for one of numerous things that are rumoured and doing the circuits and all that kind of thing. So, yeah, I don't know. Connor. He's fought once in the last 3 years and he lost. I don't really care. I loved him, but it's not that relevant at the moment, in my opinion.
So Khabib is back when?
Khabib is fighting... I think he's back in October, or maybe September, October, November. So him and Poirier will be fighting then.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is just going to be a hell of a battle. And Tony, obviously, have to mention, he's gone through a lot of mental health issues recently. So it's... hugely exciting to see him seemingly in a good place.
Yeah.
To see that the UFC supported him through all that and kind of said, look, you're struggling, take some time off, get your head together, and have given him support. So, it's just an incredibly exciting fight because it's two fighters who are going to put on a hell of a scrap, but it's depressing because it's two fighters that I think deserve that big payday title shot more than anyone else. I mean, why don't they just make it for another interim belt?
Yeah, interim.
Just give them another interim. Interim. Khabib may never come back, who knows. So then, in the co-main event, is Valentina Shevchenko of Jessica Rai.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good scrap.
Great scrap.
Rai has earned her way back to that kind of title contention.
Yeah.
It's a looser one. It's one of the new divisions, isn't it? I'm sure it's a new division, so they've not got tons of options. They've not got many who have fought at that weight class. You're fighting it's a 125, fighting at 135. So yeah, I'm sure that'll be a good scrap.
Yeah, Shevchenko, I think he's always a fantastic watch fight.
Yeah.
I think he's an absolute beast.
Yep. So that'll be good. And then the main event is Henry Cejudo v. Marlon Moraes, which is hugely exciting because I think Henry is another example of learn from your losses and develop, right? I know you're not a fan of him. You think he's a bit cocky.
I think he's a bit of a dick, yeah.
He's an Olympic gold medalist.
I don't know if he's ever mentioned that.
it comes up every now and then. He wears them. He's like Glasson. He's a gold medalist in wrestling, yet he's one of the best strikers. He's developed his karate style of striking that when he first got a title shot against Demetrius Johnson, it felt early and he got exposed. And then he went away and got some wins, came back and took the belt off DJ and sent DJ out of the organisation.
It was tight, that fight.
It was tight, but I would have loved to have seen... a trilogy,
yeah,
because I did feel it was tight, but It was in no way a robbery. I think I had a Cejudo winning. As I said, it was dead tight, but considering how untight every other fight DJ's had in recent years has been, it's fair play. He beat him. There is always that thing of you need to beat the champ to beat the champ. You know, if it's a tight decision, it should stick with the champ. Not really. It's a technical sport. Yeah. You shouldn't have emotions or who each fighter is. But Marlon Moraes is one that's just on a tear and hugely exciting. Been beating people left, right, and centre. It feels like he's been held out of the title shot for ages. Yeah, it's exciting. It's that thing every time a king is gone, it opens up a division, particularly a king like DJ who'd beaten everyone.
Yeah,
I love DJ, but it's kind of exciting now he's gone, if they keep the division, of course, but it's exciting now he's gone, because it's like, right, now there's all these people who can fight for it.
Just moving away from that fight quickly, so Demetrius Johnson literally lost that fight, and then he's gone to...
He went to ONE FC.
All right. Did he lose there as well?
He lost. He lost in his first fight, as did Sage, as did Eddie Alvarez. In fact, did Demetrius lose? I think Alvarez and Sage lost. I'm not
Sage
sure if
lost
Demetrius
with an awful knockout.
Yeah, but against like a legendary kickboxer, it was kind of everyone, because again, outside of the UFC, you don't know who people
are.
Just quickly, he didn't lose. DJ went over and won his debut in ONE FC. So he's had one loss.
Is that where Benson's fighting there?
No, Benson's in Bellator.
He's still in Bellator.
So Demetrius Johnson, again, it's worth highlighting, his loss against Cejudo is his only loss in the last 8 years.
One before that? Who was that?
Dom Cruz.
Before that?
Before that, Brad Pickett. His first loss was against Brad Pickett, former guest of the Hardcore Listing podcast.
Yes. and really nice fella.
But yeah, so it's kind of exciting. You know what? I thought he'd beaten Marlon Moraes, but they'd never give a Marlon the shot.
Who's Marlon's recent scouts been?
So Marlon has done amazing. So he's a similar one. Let's have a look, actually. He's also had one loss in the last since 2011. So he was in World Series of Fighting, which I think is what is now... No, that's now the PFL. So Marlon came up to the UFC and lost to Rafael Sanchão, who's amazing. He's one of the best of all time. Since then, he's beat John Dodson, who we've talked about being great. Aljamain Sterling, who's on this card, who we've talked about being great. Aljamain Sterling is against Jimmy Rivera, who's great, who he beat after Aljamain. And then he beat a Rafael Sanchão and submitted him. And Sanchão doesn't get finished very often. So his four-fight win streak is Dodson, Sterling, Rivera and Sanchão.
Legit.
That's four top 10.
Yeah.
Probably all top five at the time he fought them.
Yeah.
So, and all of them... Oh, no, the Dodson one was a split decision. His original loss to Sanchão was a split decision. So,
Legit
he knocked out Aljamain Sterling, he knocked out Rivera, and he submitted a Sanchão. That's going to be a hell of a scrap. It's just a stacked card. That main card, it's always... You know it's a good one. Or when you look at the Fight Pass prelims and you see someone you know on or excited to see, like that, JoJo.
Yeah.
And then the main prelims, every fighter's got at least one person in there that you're familiar with.
Yeah.
With the Sterling in there, with Carolina in there, with all these good fighters.
So I think we should just touch on something that happened at the end of this weekend's event that's just gone, which was... Gustafsson retiring.
Yep. I mean, first of all, mad props to Smith.
Yeah.
Because he looked amazing. I thought he looked fantastic. I thought what Gustafsson has always had is he's a bit herky-jerky and unusual style, but he's always been so accurate and technical. And where he's lost in the past is when it's a Rumble or a Cormier or someone who's wrestling him or just slugging him. Smith went out there and was just so technical. His footwork in cutting off the ring was beautiful. And it did mean that there was a few times that when Gustafsson did bob and weave and step out, it was poetry.
Yeah.
But Smith put on an amazing performance against one of the most technical or intelligent light heavyweights in recent years.
And tough.
And he finished him. And Gus, he hung it up. And to be honest, it felt right to me. I love Gus, but he's kind of retired a few times recently. He's talked about he's only up for a Jones rematch, and then he had that and he lost it. And
I don't know what's other than if he's got money in the bank.
Yeah,
I can't see if he's not got the desire to fight. Then good luck to him.
Enjoy, then why enjoy would it. You? Again, right. I think more people. It's fight fans are greedy fuckers at times.
Yeah,
I think any time a fighter has got a viable out, I would like to see them take that out. Yeah, if they've not got hurt, they've not got more damage, it's always a good thing. Brendan Schaub is the kind of easier example.
Yeah.
It's not like he was ever a title shot guy, but he found an out, and it's a great thing. He's done it. GSP is an example of someone who went, I'm done, I think. I've made a lot of money. I don't see why I would keep doing this. Before his kind of comeback, he was starting to take more damage than he previously had. That's a good time to walk away.
And Gustafsson's aside from being an MMA legend, he's godlike in his home country, isn't he?
The sad thing about Gustafsson, and I think Cormier or Jones or someone called him out on it when they were having their beefs back and forth, is he's always going to be most known for the fights he lost.
Yeah.
His best fights were the brawls with John Jones, which arguably he won, but as history records it, he lost. That Cormier fight was an absolute storm.
He gave both of them a test they've never had anywhere else.
Yeah. I mean, it's a shame to see him go out on a loss. His last fight in Sweden was that amazing one against Teixeira, where he did, was it four uppercuts in a row and then a straight and just put him to sleep? But absolute legend, great fighter, a rangy fighter who could use his range.
Good ambassador for the sport.
Great ambassador for the sport. He bought it. He headlined in his home country when they wouldn't have had fights in his home country.
Did we see him at the O2?
Yeah, we saw him at the O2, and I got a photo with Eric from True Blood because he was there, because he's a fellow countryman. And I was all excited. Because Alexander Skarsgård is gorgeous.
He was.
So that's a good one to mention at the end there. I think that's kind of all the news that we need to cover, right? The card looks amazing. It's on BT Sports and Fight Pass. This isn't a sponsored episode, but if they ever want to sponsor, holler at your boys. And now we're going to go and collect my car and hand out
Bibles.
So we're doing shop drops in Brighton and handing out at the station, but the shop drops we will post where they are on the Pod Bible socials. So if you're hearing this and you're in Brighton, you want to grab one, you'll know where to go. We'll also do
the same for
station and shop drops in London, and we'll post there and let you all know. But as I said, there's the two previous digital versions are online with some great interviews, and then this one will be online on Monday.
And if you like MMA, you've got some back catalogue, great stuff, right?
I've had Rory McDonald on, hugely a relevant one, with him speaking of retiring recently, saying his heart isn't in it. I spoke to him when he was off from fighting, and he spoke about how much he was into the stock markets and stuff like that. So, you know, he spoke like a man who didn't feel like beating people up. But again, he's readdressed that in recent times. But so I've had Rory, I've had Dan Hardy.
Probably one of my favourite episodes of your podcast.
Yeah, he was great. He's been on twice now, I think, as well. So, had some good ones on there.
Goddard.
Mark Goddard, in my opinion, the best ref in the game.
Bad shout out to Dan.
Absolute legends. So, some really great episodes if you want to go in.
Michael Venom Page.
MVP. who he's another one that's reacted great. He's had his first loss. He had a lot of haters beforehand, and everyone has done the same thing. He's been exposed.
Yeah.
I spoke to him the night he lost, and his mindset was amazing. Yeah. He messaged saying, you know what? I was going to lose at some point. I'm more motivated than ever. I love haters. I love proving them wrong and coming back and going, here's what I can do. Yeah. It's like if I was going to lose to everyone, I want to lose to Lima because he's a gentleman.
Yeah.
He's a real pro and a great fighter. So, MVP episode was a great one, so that's worth a listen as well.
Absolutely. And I'm going to get some shameless plugs in as well. If you like your UFC on Hardcore Listing podcast, we did sit down with the aforementioned Brad Pickett, Chris and I, and had a chat, and it was just after he'd retired at the O2, which was quite an emotional affair to watch that. And if you like your scrappers, I know we spoke about Anthony Joshua earlier, then there's also an episode of Chris and I sitting down with former World Heavyweight Champion of the World, Frank Bruno, which is worth a listen. We talk about Frank's growing up and his struggles with well-being and what he's up to now. And
I mean, outside of guests, you also recently have had top five boxers that you like to watch.
Yeah.
So that's a good one for fight fans because you go back and forth on some amazing moments in boxing history and stuff like that.
Coming very soon, we're recording it in a couple of weeks, former guest of Screwy's Pips, Stuart Roberts, who is the main guy behind Haircuts for the Homeless, is coming to do top five UFC fights.
Amazing. Well, thank you all very much for tuning in, and thank you. Shout out to Greg's in Dartford. They had stock of the vegan sausage roll, which is often hard to get hold of. I mean, we didn't grab one, but I did note it. So I'll see you all another time. Enjoy the fights.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Scroobius Pip's Distraction Pieces.
There we go. That was a bonus episode. I'm not going to ramble on. There's not much to tell you. It's a bonus. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoy the fights at the weekend. I'll see you on Wednesday. Ta-ta.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.